And he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. That means that they weren't there a super long time, but they weren't there a short time either, amen. Now watch. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. Now you remember what Passover was, amen? Passover is when the angel of the Lord came through Egypt and smote all the firstborn, and the only ones who could survive were the ones, the Jews who took the hyssop and put the lamb's blood, and they put on the side post across the door, and then back down to the mantle, and then down the other side, amen? And God spared them. The Bible says this, and found, the watchman says, Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and the changers of money sitting. Now let me just stop there for a little bit. The Feast of Passover, we know that was commemorated. I'm going to get out sort of later, brother. That's a bad Jew in the car tonight, amen. Commemorated. Every home in Egypt was affected by it. God had commanded that the Passover become a yearly feast. Yearly, every year they had to celebrate the Passover feast for what God had done and how he had saved them and how he had spared them. And Jesus goes up now to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. You know, we've got to make one statement to you. Jesus is always obedient to the word of God.
Amen.
Everything he did was in line and accord with the very word of God. Now, I know you're not Jesus, amen, and I'm not Jesus, but I'll tell you what, we as believers in Jesus Christ ought to line our lives up with the very Word of God. The Word of God ought to mean so much to you that when you read it, or you see it, or you hear it, the Holy Spirit does this to you, just reaches in and touches your heart for a little bit, that should want to cause you to do something right in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Our Lord visits the temple. This was to be the place where the presence or the glory of God was to be present here on earth. Listen, it was God's house. Amen. The Bible does not, the Bible tell you and I that when we get saved, behold, ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You and I. Now, I'll make a little joke here. My son one time, my son's bigger than me, bigger than you, brother. Amen. He's a big boy. And he was in Bible school, and one of the professors asked him, he said, Caleb, do you think if you lost a little bit of weight, it could help you to do more for the Lord? And Caleb was like, I understand. He said, my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm just a mega church. Only my kid. And then I heard from a preacher up there, and I knew, because I knew all the professors, all the teachers, all the preachers, amen. In the school, and what a character he is. We are God's house today. What are you, now watch, listen, what are you allowing into God's house today? What did Jesus find when he entered the temple area? Watch this. He said, found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep. And by the way, these things did not belong in the temple. Amen. They should not have been there. And sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Man, what an experience that must have been to be in the temple and then to have Jesus come in and just overturn these things. And they showed Jesus, if you ever watched any of the Jesus movies, amen. And they show him as being super angry and mean-looking. I don't think he was ugly-looking. I don't think he was mean-looking. You know, I think he was concerned. I think he was hurt because of what Israel had been doing. And I think what he's doing is he's like this maybe. Have you ever done something when you've been hurt and your feelings have been hurt and you react and not respond, but you know you're not being mean about something. You just that's it. Amen. And I think Jesus just said, I'm done. That's done. You're not doing this anymore. So he flips over the tables. There were all sorts of animals in this temple area. These were sold to be used as sacrifices before God. I'm wondering how clean, Pastor, those animals were. I just wonder how clean those animals were. I wonder how spotless. I wonder how perfect. I wonder how broken bones. I'm wondering, because if not, they were not the right sacrifice. I have a feeling that they just sacrificed whatever to God. If not, they would not have been in a temporary like this. Also, temple tax was paid, and money was converted here from other currencies into temple currencies. These animals, listen to me, these animals were filthy. You ever seen a skull out in a barn? Amen. In Michigan, or in Ohio, there's a place in Ohio, we have a lot of Amish in Michigan and Ohio, a lot of Amish. And you got a, you know how they, some they have a, in stores, they have a rail hookup for the horses and buggies. And then there's one place in Ohio that when you hook up there, they have a special bag you put on the back of your horse so it can catch the dung, because it's not allowed in their parking lot. Isn't that something? Amen. My thought is, hire some kid, give him $4 an hour, and let him go out and shovel dung all day long. Amen. But if you want customers, amen, that's my thought anyway. And but here you see this, these animals, and these animals were filthy animals, that they desecrated the temple of God. How much more? Listen, how much more does the filthiness in our lives desecrate the Holy Ghost, the temple of the Holy Ghost? And we might say, well, it's not that dirty, preacher. It's just a little dusty. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. And we need to get back to the fact that if something is right, that's what we need to be following. If something is wrong, that's what we need to be confessing. Because I don't know about you, but when Jesus sees that, I don't care what he sees. He might see a cobweb. He might see a little dust. He might see, but it's all filthy to him, no matter what you're doing. If it's not according to God's word, and you're doing something against God's word, it's filthiness. So, these animals desecrate the temple of the Holy Ghost. What's in your life might desecrate the temple of the Holy Ghost? You say it's just a little thing, like a bird in the temple. You know birds make mess. I mean, you go out in the morning and a bird took you all over the hood of your car, over the roof of your car, over the windshield of your car. It's got my man watch before I came here the very next morning. I'm glad cows don't fly, amen, let me tell you. But filth is filth, no matter how big or how small, it's still filth. No matter what little thing you're doing or what big thing you're doing, it doesn't matter, it's still wrong, it's still not right. We need to get those things settled between us and God. Here was the house of God being used as a marketplace. What do you use the temple of God for today? It's a question I want to ask you. What do you use the temple of God for today? And we have this idea, and it's not a bad idea, Pastor. But we have this idea that if we just come to church, we'll be okay. Well, we need to come to church, amen. That doesn't make you okay, but we need to come to church. We need to be in church. When we can get to church, that's where we ought to be. We ought not to just slough off and do nothing. We ought to be in the house of God. So, but we get this idea that because we go to church, we're okay, so all these other little things are not too bad. That's not true. That's not true. Anything in your life, anything in your heart, anything that turns your eyes or anything away from God, it makes you look at the world, makes you look at yourself, makes you trust yourself, makes you not trust God, makes you trust somebody else. All that stuff is wrong. And we need to get back and come back to the very word of God. Jesus was angered, amen, by the sin. Watch what he said. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and they said unto him that sold doves. And then, excuse me, what is that? I think I read that wrong. And said unto them, he says unto them, sold doves, even the littlest things. He drove the big animals out. But even the littlest things. And then he said, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remember that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. If you would go over to Well, I'm trying to see where I want to go now. But if I, not, I'll put it in there. Oh, well, forget it, it's not in there, but it is Psalm, that Psalm, that he's quoting from that, the book of Psalm, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And it's the idea that it has hurt him. Hurt him. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I've been hurt, amen. And I'm sure that there's been times when you have been hurt as a believer in Jesus Christ. And I think that we need to make sure that when we are hurt, that we don't react or respond. But there's times because of things that we've done that the Holy Spirit has dealt with us. And something, for instance, you might come to church, and some preacher might get on something hot and heavy, and then you might go to your pastor and say, why did you talk to him? And the pastor said nothing about it, amen. And so we start blaming our things or our sin on somebody else who had nothing to do with it, and we say, well, it's the pastor's fault. If he wouldn't have said anything, I'd been fine. Now I'm angry. Now I'm mad. Now I'm going to leave the church. My friend, listen to me. We better make sure that is not us as the children of God. He did a complete, thorough house cleaning that removed all the clutter, all the dust, all the filth, everything that could remove, Jesus removed from that temple. I'm wondering, it doesn't say in the scriptures, but I'm wondering, Pastor, if he made somebody clean that up. Amen. I'm sure they cleaned it up after he was done. I can almost guarantee you that. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Let him cleanse your heart. Amen? Let him cleanse your heart. Allow him to sweep out the dirt before the chastening and scourging of God takes place. You say, oh, brother, I ain't never been chastened. Well, then the Bible says you're not his child, because he says this in Hebrews 12:5. And ye have forgotten that the exhortation which speaketh unto you as of the children, my son. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, and nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth you as sons. For what the son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, if you say, God's never chastened me, then he said, wherefore, all are partakers of this. But if you say, not me, then are ye bastards, not sons. Very strong language, is it not, that he uses in the scripture. So God does chasten us if we're believers. And if we don't listen to the chastening, the scourging is always worse. Amen? The chastening there, the scourging is always, that's the next one. The chastening might be stop it. The scourging might be something that puts you flat on your back to get your attention back to God where it ought to be. And we need to be careful with believers in Jesus Christ. You are the children of God. You are, he loves you so much that not only did he die for you, but listen, he filled you with his Holy Spirit. And filling you with his Holy Spirit means something. It means more than getting excited. It means more than people throwing up their hands. And I offer my praise the Lord. It means more than jumping up and down and throwing your hands. It means more than dancing around boy, people today think they can call it a holy dance or dancing to rock music out in the middle of the sink. Shame on them, amen. I'm just simply saying, my friend, that we need to be so careful. You are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He saved you. He filled you. And it's something that you can never lose. You stay that way until the day that you die. Amen. If we stay that way until the day we die, I think this short few years here on this earth, I think that we ought to want to serve God as the believers in Jesus Christ. Years ago, my brother-in-law. You ever been, anybody in here been out of sorts with the Lord? I'll put my hand up, amen. Just out of sorts a little bit. You can admit it. You can admit it, sister. I'm just kidding. Amen. I was out of sorts one night. Took over the church pastor for a little bit. And I remember, watched one day my brother-in-law and the preacher come to visit me. Told my wife, I said, here's your you're your brother, the preacher. The Baptist preacher is going, we're not helping that. I don't want to see him. She looked at me on the couch and she said, if you don't want to see him, you tell him you don't want to see him. Amen. So I heard a knock on the door and I went down and I opened that door up. This is a book. Come on in. I'll never forget my wife's brother. It was either this time or another time. My wife's brother stood in front of me. And he said, Mikey, his name is Mike too. And if you call me Mikey, I've heard, but that was the only time I think I ever let him get away with it, amen. So he said, Mikey, he said, listen, he said, if Jesus was standing right here today where I'm at, and if he looked at you right in your eyeballs, and he said, Mike, I died for you on the cross of Calvary. I shed my blood. I went to the grave and I rose again, and I end up ascending into heaven for you. Prepare something for you that you have no imagination about. So it goes like this. He says, saying that, he says, but you could not serve me for just a few short years in this world. And when he said that, he said, what would your answer be? And he said that, I went, you ever laugh at a question, you know, when you know you're caught, you know you're stuck, you know you. And he looks at me, I mean, he steps close, you were your nose to nose. Now that's fighting to me. You get nose roll, I'm toe to toe, I'm ready to fight. But he got right up here like this, he looked at me and said, it is no laughing matter. And he turned on the shield and walked out of my house. That's what got my attention. That got my attention. That got me wanting to go back to church, got me realizing that Jesus did something. And I already knew that, but I wasn't paying attention, amen. That got a hold of me, preacher. That right there, there's that little statement right there. It's no laughing matter. I don't care what he said before that, but that's the one that got me. It's no laughing matter. And you listen to me. In your life as a believer in Jesus Christ, you might have something, some dirt, some dust, whatever, cobwebs, I don't care what it is. Listen to me. It is no laughing matter, amen. No laughing matter. But we need to make sure that our heart is in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we had a second cleansing of the temple at the end of Jesus' life. You know that? It was the second time. And Jesus made this very bold statement in Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of what? Prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. But ye have made it a den of thieves, the Bible says. The disciples remembered a prophecy concerning the Lord. And that Psalm 69:9 is what I was trying to quote earlier for. The zeal of time has a house, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach me are fallen upon me. Boy, how true that scripture came to be fulfilled. Amen. In Jesus Christ. Jesus certainly fulfilled that prophecy with his zeal, his passion, that the temple would be cleansed, and then with his death, burial, and his resurrection. Jesus had touched a nerve. Hey, my pastor, hey, if you put my pastor right now for this next week, maybe, on your prayer list, I'd appreciate it. His name is Pastor Jim Swearinger. Now, I'll spell that for you. S-W-E-R-I-N-G-A. Jim Swearinger. And I'll tell you what's going on right now. He, Sunday night, Saturday night, he could not sleep. Sunday night, he could not sleep. Such pain, just the body was just a pain. He told his wife to take me up to Gerber Hospital in Fremont, Michigan. So she got in the van about 12:30 and took him up to the hospital. And he got out of the hospital sometime about 7 or 8 in the morning. And she said, I'm taking you down to Dr. Denmore, Grand Rapids. That's their I guess he's a one that they use all kinds of different things other than just medicine, you know. But anyway, he went down there, and the hospital said that he probably had some startup of shingles, but it's all over his body, not just one area. You know, shingles, you use a lot of things, just get one area, but it's all over his body. And Dr. Denmore got to looking at him, and he saw places, like little stripes on his body that were inflamed. And Dr. almost come off the table, so it hurt so bad. And that's what he's dealing with. He said, I just got a text from a little bit ago before we started, and I put a call, I said, I'm praying for you, how you doing today? He said, I think I'm on the other end of it, but I can't sleep. He said, it's worse at night than it is any other time. He said, so pray for Pastor Jim Swearinga, Swearinga, and you would put him on your prayer list, I sure would appreciate it. That's my pastor. And he loves the Lord, he is a good man. So before I hung up yesterday, I said, I pray for you, Pastor. He said, absolutely. I prayed for him, and he was a pain. He said, now I'm praying for you, amen. So we prayed with each other. We do that a lot of times on the phone. So let's pray for him. He is in pain. He is hurting. And the disciples remember the prophecy of Christ. They remember this. And they said he's got something in his body that's inflamed his nerves. And so that's what's wrong. Well, Jesus touched the nerve here. You ever had a nerve puncture? A few years ago, I was going in, pastor going to operate on my elbow because I had a bad spur. My elbow was all swelled up, you know, so they got a little bit of the inflammation down. They got me in the hospital and laying in the bed getting ready for surgery. And the guy comes in and gives you the numbing, you know. And he said, he put a screen up here. He said, now look. He said, you see this here, this mask? He said, those are nerves. So don't move while I'm doing this. He said, if I touch one, you'll know it. And he said, if I touch it while I'm doing it, you're going to know it. So I'm watching the needle. I watch the needle on the screen go into my neck. It was the neatest thing in the world. Amen. And right before he got there, he bumped it. Oh, I want to tell you what, man. That will send you off the table real quick. And I never moved it. He said, I hit this Debbie. I'll be careful. I said, well, you weren't that time. And he gave me that nerve block, and it wasn't very long before it took place, amen. And well, I thank the Lord for that. Let me tell you, it was something where touched the nerve. Jesus touched the nerve. It grated them. It angered them. It made them bitter towards him. The Jews wanted to know what authority Jesus had to come in and to destroy their livelihood. That's where they were making their money. These people raising sheep and raising the beef. Raising doves, and their money was in this temple, and they were financially doing well with this. Jesus, of course, he's talking about. Look at verse 18 with me. He says this. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they're thinking physically. Jesus is speaking about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. When this temple goes, when this goes into the ground, what are you not? You're a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When he goes into the ground, he says, 3 days, 3 days. He's talking about his resurrection. He's talking about coming back again. They want to know what authority, so he tells them. Verse 19 said to you and I, again, then Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, they want to know by what authority Jesus tells them. He said, in 3 days it would rise. Jesus' resurrection from the dead was the proof. Listen, his resurrection from the dead was the proof that he had the authority to cleanse the temple. He had the authority. Listen. He has the authority to cleanse you. Amen. He has the authority to cleanse you. He does not need my permission to cleanse me. That's where the chastening comes in. That's where the scourging comes in. I want to get your attention, boy. Amen. We need to make sure that we are in the right relationship with God as a believer in Jesus Christ. The Jews did not understand what Jesus was talking about, but later on, the disciples sort of figured it out. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, you are cleansed from the sin. The filth of sin has been paid for you by Jesus Christ. It's interesting to me, a very special thing happened because the Spirit of Christ lives inside of you. Because the Lord Jesus lives inside of you, you become the temple of God. You become God's dwelling place. What? 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. what are you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. We are to glorify God in our body and our spirit. We are to put him first place here. We ought to have the joy of the Lord. Listen to me. Things in your life that are not right will rob you of the joy of the Lord. How do you know, Brother Mike? To say 50 years, if I stood here and said, Pastor, I've never robbed myself of the joy of the Lord, you've got to kick me out of this pulpit, amen. Because I have. And I tell you many of the time, you see, we tell us, Brother Mike, not even your business, amen. And I don't want to know about yours either, hallelujah. I'm just simply saying, we got to, as believers, we got to be so careful that we stay in tune with the things of God as the children of God. He removes the filth of the temple. Jesus is cleansing temples. He's cleansing temples today. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, you are cleansing sin. The filth of sin has been paid for. The very special thing happens because the Spirit of Christ lives inside of you. Amen. How many of you remember when you got saved? Amen. Remember the day you got saved? And do you remember, I know we are independent Baptists, and we don't go by feelings. Amen. But didn't it feel good? Amen. You feel good? Something happened, and you knew it immediately. That's the Holy Spirit moving in. The Holy Spirit. And you might not be perfect then, and you might not be perfect today, but boy, when the Holy Spirit speaks, can I tell you this? You've been saved any length of time. Read the Bible any length of time. And the Word of God any length of time. Hearing preaching any length of time. Hearing teaching any length of time. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You know it. You know it. The problem is people who say, the Spirit never speaks to me. I don't know. It makes me question, Pastor. If the Spirit's not speaking to you, you are either lying or you're not a Christian. Think about that one. He says in the scripture, for ye are bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Ye are bought with a price, which are God's. Jesus dwells inside you. You are God's temple. So because Jesus is in you, let's think about what needs to be cleansed in our lives. You know, I could have given you a whole list of 100 do's and don'ts up here tonight. Amen. By the way, some of you know the same list, amen? Mm-hmm. If I could give you a whole list and said, if this is on, if this is going on, this is happening, then get your stinking heart right with God. No, I don't have to do that. Why? You know why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, because you are his temple. And you know where you're struggling. You know the difficulties. You know where the devil is trying to get his hooks into you. You know where he's influencing or trying to influence you. You know. Amen. I'll tell you what, let's do something about the things in our life that do not draw our attention to God, but draw our attention away from God. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Well, I tell you what, let me put it this way tonight. I'm not going to ask if you're saved every hand up last night. I hope you're saved. Amen. But if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you're not washed in the blood, would you please talk to me tonight, or talk to Pastor tonight after, or talk to somebody else tonight that knows they're saved, know that when they die, know that they're going to heaven. Would you please do that? I sure would appreciate it if you do that tonight. Now you say, Mike, I'm a Christian. Mike, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. But the Lord tonight put something in my mind, in my heart. Would you just pray for me tonight? How about right now? Slip your hand up in the air. Anybody at all? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? God bless you, Brother. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Let's take it to the Lord here in just a moment. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. Let's stand. The Father, I thank you for your children. Dear God, help them tonight. Lord, I believe they want to bring honor and glory to your precious name. God, there's areas in our lives sometimes, Father, where you speak to us, and then we sort of let it fall on a deaf ear. I pray that's not so tonight, Father. hands run up to honor, pray, help these individuals to slip their hands tonight to honor and glorify you. And do what you'd have them to do, Father. We will give you the praise and the thanks. And Father, there's someone, if they're not saved, please, dear God, have them speak among us tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen.